with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
First of all, I want to remind you that Wednesday we will have Movie with McNeil at 2 o'clock and again at 7 o'clock in the John Paul II Room. The movie this month will be Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. I think you'll enjoy it. A business owner married a widow who had an adult son, and she asked him to hire the son, and he did. But he wasn't much of a worker. He spent most of his time gossiping, playing games on his computer, distracting other workers. And finally, the boss called him, his stepfather called him in a few weeks later and says, "I want to give you something that manifests your importance to the job." And he gives him a beautiful watch. He thanks him and he walks off. About a half an hour later, he comes back. He says, "It doesn't work." And the guy says, "Neither do you." Today's gospel is one of the most problematical, I think, and many feel it's not fair. We need to look beyond our feelings to understand. In the first reading, the prophet says, "Seek the Lord. Let the scoundrel forsake his ways. Turn to the Lord for mercy, to God who is generous in forgiving." Then he goes on to say, "My thoughts," God's thoughts, "are not yours. So great is the difference between your thoughts and my thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth." We truly need to understand this, as when we ask God, "Why has something like this happened? Or why did something not happen? Or why haven't you answered my prayers?" God's ways and thoughts are way above, way, way above ours. And we'll probably only understand when we see him face to face. The gospel, as I said, is a problem for many of us. We tend to think like workers on strike, that with a sign saying unfair. But we need to understand this reading is not about how much work is done. It's not at all about that. It's about whether, and it's not about whether the landowner is fair, not at all. It's about mercy, undeserved, unmerited mercy. One thing that this passage may be addressing is feelings of some of the Jewish Christians who may be jealous of the Gentile Christians because they don't have to obey the whole Mosaic law. They're getting off easy, even though they are called to the same witness as the Gentile Christians, as the Jewish Christians, to live and act as Jesus, to act in charity and in mercy. Sometimes we have to ask, do we who have been Catholic all our lives sometimes feel jealous of new converts, or rather do we rejoice that they become our brothers and sisters? None of us ought to be here. As we say before we receive communion, Lord, I am not worthy. And God knows our unworthiness better than we do. God, in the person of Jesus, has humbled himself to become one of us, to show us what it means to be a child of God, to show us that death is not just physical, but a daily death to self, and that that is essential if we want to have eternal life. We are unworthy, but Jesus still calls us. The landowner in the gospel loves those who are working for him. And very probably, as probably most of us sometimes don't always give 100% all day, the master knows that. And he wants to provide for them. He wants to provide for those who came at the beginning and those who came at the end, to respect their dignity, to provide for them, even though they may not be worthy of it. He doesn't just give a handout. And God provides for us in the same way. We are to do the same for our brothers and sisters. We are to share the gospel truth. We are to share Jesus, who is the truth incarnate, because that's our vocation. Have we talked to our family, friends, co-workers about Jesus and our relationship with him? Have we tried with God's grace, because it's only possible with his grace, to confront the ills and the errors of our society? Have we prevailed against the untruths of our society? Have we proclaimed what is true, that human sexuality is as God created it? And human sexuality isn't just something we can change from at our will, and that there is a purpose to it? Do we confront the untruth that we are all called to be responsible for our actions? The world says basically, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever we do, it's not our fault. We have to confront that untruth. We have to confront the untruth of attacks on human life, to understand and proclaim that human life is inviolable at every stage of its development. And by the way, that means we have to be very careful and vote no on issue one in November. We have to attack the untruth that I am the only person that's important, that everything's about me. It isn't. We have to do these things. We have to proclaim the truth, to confront the untruths, the lies of our society, so that at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, we may be given the unmerited mercy of nothing less than life forever with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.